Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another edition of the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network in conjunction with Clear Production Sports. I am the Vieira de Medea. Oh, you took my thing away.
I'm sorry.
I tried to get this right. Vieira de Medea Noche, also known as the Midnight Rider in English. And that's the big guy, KG. I didn't translate his name. It's Friday Eve. You know how we started. Because everybody in the room knows what happens on Friday Eve. Because everybody starts saying, Thursday night, throwdown, yeah.
That's what I love to hear. You wait all week for it. I tell you that all the time. You wait all week for it. How you feeling tonight, brother?
I'm good, man. This is almost like Christmas part two. It's the happiest day in the world, one of the happiest days in the world. I got opening day baseball. You got mixed results from the two local teams, which we'll talk about in a second. And then you also have the NCAA tournament winning down to the getting down to the Elite Eight and then taking us into the Final Four next week. I love all of that.
Gotta love it. Well, we're going to start off this thing. Let me say this. Number one, how's everybody doing? Glad you could join us tonight. Quick sidebar.
Okay.
If you haven't seen Godzilla Kong yet, go see it, please. That's it. That's the sidebar. That's it. Just trust me. So,
wait. So they got. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the Big 12 Pro Day. So they got the whole conference together in one spot. That's dope. Because now you ain't got to worry about bringing in quarterbacks. To throw to people. That way you don't get like Vince Young throwing to wide receiver prospects, or you don't get like. Jameis Winston or some random person that went to the school throwing footballs. You actually got quarterbacks from the conference throwing to guys. That's money. I like that.
All right. Let me ask you this. Where you want to start first? You want to start in D.C. or you want to start in Baltimore?
Let's start in Baltimore. Let's start on a high note. And the real thing, the high note for – I guess Orioles Nation, they get their ding dong, the witch is dead moment. Condolences to the Angelos family, but his death kind of signatures their exit from ownership. And now the new owners get to take over. I think they take over 40% and the everyday actions of the program. And then eventually they'll get to a place where they'll have total control or majority control. And I think the Angelos kids will keep a small faction of the product or of the ownership. The good thing is this guy's a businessman. So there's already been rumblings that he's mentioned the Masson deal, trying to work something out, trying to see what the numbers look like and try to make it so we get the local area gets a good product. So for me, that's a big jump. That's a big kudos. That's just something I've been dying to hear. And I don't mean to use that term, but we've been waiting to hear is just the team changing hands, because people have been wanting the team to change hands for the longest time, especially because they weren't putting any money into the team. So now.
Oh, okay. I had a question for you.
Go ahead. That's perfect.
Now talking about ownership. And do you think that if it's possible, this Masson deal is worked out where it works for both teams to the point where they actually can both eat, for lack of a better term?
I think that's the only way they're going to set it up. I think these two guys, the learners, and I forgot the guy's name. I think it's Rubenstein. They have some other ventures already. And I think the other thing that helps is I think if the learners do actually go to sell this to Ted, which is some of the rumblings, Once they get things squared away, then I don't see him putting Ted in a situation because Ted is somebody that he does a lot of business with. So I don't see him handcuffing Ted the way that the Angelos is handcuffed the Learners. I'll say it that way.
And the big dog over on Instagram said, let's play ball. And yes, sir. he said, come to Clear Production Sports. We'll show all their games. Hey. Man. But if you do it, in Baltimore, you can't even get all the guys back in Baltimore. Can we get Jim Palmer if we do that, big dog? Like, can we get Jim Palmer to do a game? A couple games, you know, home games for Baltimore? Just a couple.
I mean, of course he would do it the right way. That's the only way the big dog knows how to act is doing it the right way and setting up something for the people. Give them what they want.
Hey. Because, we'll talk about that when we come closer to home, but as far as play on the field, what can we expect from the O's as far as play on the field? You know, the biggest hurdle was, I guess, getting this sale final. Now you got to worry about play on the field. What's your biggest takeaway here?
Well, I've said this, and I know one of my buddies has heard me say this, and he has to make me repeat it several times, but I say the Orioles are going to be the team to beat in the American League for the next 5 to 7 years, if not 10. I mean, you look at their lineup today, they had their two young guys at the top of the lineup, Gunnar Henderson, Andy Rauschman. Rauschman is already the best catcher in baseball, easily. He's been that guy since he's come up. The second he got called up, he was the best catcher in baseball. You have a bunch of young guys like Westberg, O'Hearn. Like, they just have so much talent, and they have talent sitting. They still have one of the best prospects, Jackson Holliday, down in AAA. And, I mean, they just got to figure out when they want to call him up. I thought he's going to make the team out of camp. But, yeah, I mean, I just think this is going to be one of those divisions and years that, and we'll talk about that later on, but the Orioles are set. They went out and got a pitcher, Corbin Burns, who's now the ace of their staff, and today he had 11 strikeouts. You put a young team like that can hit, they can run, they play great defense. I mean, they checking every box. Like, all the boxes, they just checking them off. I don't know what this team can't do. Like, I don't know what I would consider their weakness. Maybe it's their 2 and 3 guy. But right now, the way having Burns slotted at one, their guy that used to be their ace is in his proper spot as a two. And then whenever John Means comes back, that's a three. So, like I said, then you got Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, you just have arms and talent on this team. That it's just – they're just gushing with talent. I don't know what else to say. That's why I think they'll be in the hunt for the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay. Matty Ice says, I really like the O's this year. AL East is brutal, though. I agree with that being brutal. Here's the thing. The O's were exciting to watch second half of the year last year and nearly made the wild card, nearly made the playoffs. But they won a lot of games. What did they win, like 15, 16 games in a row at one point?
Something like that.
And you said it last year. You said this team's going to be scary the following year. Well, we're in the following year. So, me being a Yankee guy, I always circle those Oriole games on the calendar, those series, because I know the struggle my Yankees have and have always had with the O's, especially in Baltimore. So let's come down 295 a little bit. Unless you have something else about.
No, we're good.
Okay. Let's come down 295 a little bit. We're going to jump off in Southeast. We're going to kind of take that exit right off of 295, go around past South Capitol, go around both circles, and then right down your right-hand side, You got Nat Stadium. Midnight Rider. What's your news out of DC?
How do I want to say this? Like you start your year with probably two bad, very bad moments. So pre-game or during warm-ups, their third baseman Nick Senzel breaks his thumb. So they had to scratch him off the lineup. They put Eldemar Vargas in that third. He's probably going to be out for at least 3 to 4 weeks. Now, it could be kind of karma working things out because they had a kid, Trey Lincecum, who was killing the spring training. He was part of the last three guys that were going to make the team. It was two spots and three guys. So he was the odd man out because he didn't have options to go back down to the minor leagues. I mean, he had options. The other two guys didn't. So that's kind of why he was the odd man out. And now he gets the opportunity because he plays third base. But now he can get called up. He'll probably be the guy they call up on Friday because they have the day off tomorrow. Because, you know, baseball has that quirk. When they do opening day, they leave the next day open just in case opening day gets rained out. They can reschedule for the very next day. So you'll see that a lot where a lot of places have that gap between opening day and the second game. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Big Dog over on IG said, not this year. It's all about the Astros. Matty Ice chimed in. He said, sorry to say this. As much as I like the O's, I don't like the Nats.
Well, I mean, I think you got the performance today from Josiah Gray that you did not want. I think he pitched 4 innings. He gave up 7 runs on 8 hits. He gave up 2 home runs. The offense looked terrible. They only got their first 4 hits all came with 2 outs. And then they didn't have a ball reach the outfield until the 6th inning. And that was on a pop-up. So, like, when this offense is cold, the bad thing is it's real cold. And they need their pitches. Their pitches are the only way that they're going to get to 75 wins. They need them to show up. And it looks like they actually may have some semblance of a bullpen, which you can't really say that often, even though that is put together with some duct tape and what's that flex shield? What's that?
Oh, flex shield.
Yeah, they got some flex shield in that bullpen. Yeah. So it's better than the duct tape and scotch tape that they used last year. So they moved up a little bit. But that's going to be their struggle, and that's going to be the thing that holds them back, is if they can't hit and their pitchers don't give them 5 to 6 good innings, they're going to be right around 69 to 74 wins.
Now, since you've been with this show, we've done this together. MLB preview, we've done this. What, this is our third year now, I believe?
Probably so.
Third year doing this. And every year, we always give a win total for the Nats. We're going to do one for the Nats and the O's. I think last year, I was right. I said they went over 80. You said under 80. I got my over 80, like, right before the end of the season.
No, they didn't win 80 last year. They won 75. I think it was 74, 75 last year that the Nats won. But you were right. I was wrong because I had them under 69. You had them over the 69.
I'm sorry. My apologies.
No, you're fine.
I'm not saying that to gloat because I've been wrong so much. When I'm right, I got to say something.
Nah, dog, you good, man.
See, that was a running thing. See, this is why I like this. Because before the Midnight Rider got here, I was eating a lot of daggone crow. Now the Midnight Rider here, I eat luxury dinners. So, but, and you know, all the fellas will tell you, when it comes to DC teams and local teams, I have high hopes for them. And my high hopes have always been above 500. You know, I said it for 2 years straight. I said the Wizards could win 50 games in a year. They got to like 49. And then they went on a losing streak at the end of the season, could not win. And I was like, y'all should have won over 50 games. Then following season, I was like, this should be a 60-win team. Everybody laughed at me. And they won like 45. I was like, It's not too far-fetched. It's coaching. When it comes to the Nats are going to lose early. They always do. They lose early. You get to going into the All-Star break, and they catch fire. They go to the All-Star break, get that time off, and then they're on fire for the rest of the season. And they kind of sprint into the playoffs, and it may be a wild card. They'll win the wild card. They'll get into the ALDS, and they'll squeak by in that. And then the ALCS, they'll lose steam in the ALDS, like after game three. And then it's all over after that. Or they'll get to the ALCS and just lay an eight. The O's, on the other hand, have not had that type of success in the last couple of years. They haven't had that type of success in about 15 to 16 years. So if you had to give me a number, not an over, not an under, your minimum for the O's and the Nets wins, what would it be?
101 for the O's.
101 for the O's. Let me see. All right. 101. Matty Ice says O's 90, Nets 72. So what you got for the Nets?
I'm still something from the Price is Right, and I'm gonna go with 73.
73. Ooh, that's like betting a dollar.
Yep, that's it. That's about where I think this team is. I think the problem, I think they'll have a better prospect leaving the season because they'll have some of the young guys up now playing and getting experience. And I think they'll be learning on the fly. So you'll get guys like you got Lincecum coming up, you got Wood, and I think you will have Cavalli and Jackson Rutledge in the near future. So you're going to have some guys that's going to give you some hope.
You said you got Lincecum and who?
So you got Lincecum, James Woods. That's the young outfielder that's from this area.
Oh, yeah, I know. I remember him.
From St. John's. Mm-hmm. So those two, one plays outfield, one's an infielder. So that'll give you some help there. You got Dylan Krugs, who's probably about a year away. He might be a late September call-up at the best. And that's injuries hit. So I think that's where they are right now. They got a little bit more pop with Rosario and some of those guys being in the lineup, but the pitching scares me. I wanted to say 81, and then I looked at today and I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to stick back to 73.
The big dog over on Instagram says, Chicken and Friends, home of the cold chicken pizza. I'm sorry, Chicken and Friends, home of the cold chicken special. Two pieces of cold chicken for $1.99.
Dog, that joint is. I had two of them. Like the last time I was there, right before we left, I was like, give me two cold chicken specials. Got home, middle of the night, tore them joints up, man.
Well, I mean, middle of the night and chicken, you ain't say nothing but a word. But for me, I'm going to say 80 for the Nats, but I'm going to go right there with Matty Ice, and I'm going to say 100 wins for the O's.
Okay.
So that means that the Yankees need to win 110. But
in that division, I might be wrong with the 100 because in that division, like Matt said, it's going to be brutal. So.
And Matty Ice giving us some important hockey scores. Leafs 2, Caps 1, Wings and Canes 0-0, Habs and Flyers 2-0, Habs up. Thank you, Matt, for that. See, this is why I love this type of participation. I love this. You got anything else? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, let's take a quick dive in that hockey thing real quick. The Caps have struggled with the Leafs all year, so that's going to be a tough one for them. I think we're down to 9 games, and the Caps just keep finding a way. And if they can find their way in, they're going to be a tough out. And that's going to be a valuable experience because you got those young guys, McMichael. You got Mira, I don't even want to mess up his name, the young Russian kid. So they're going to be all right. They're going to have some opportunities to grow. They get Tom Wilson back in 4 games, I think it is, because he had a 6-game suspension, and we're not even going to talk about that. But let's go ahead back to the our regularly scheduled program.
Are you finished with the Nets?
Yeah, we're good on that.
Okay, if you You got your choice. What division you want to start with first?
Well, since Matt called it brutal, let's start with the toughest division in baseball. That's the AL East. You have the saddest thing in sports where my favorite baseball player, Juan Soto, has to don a Yankees pinstripes. So I'll probably go get a 40 and pour out a little liquor for that, because that's gonna tear my heart up. We just talked about the O's being a very dominant team, being one of the best young teams in baseball. The Blue Jays is that, you know how Cedric the Entertainer talked about Big Luffa and how his curl just ain't curl right? Like the Blue Jays are right there, but it's just like there's something missing. They have Guerrero, they have Jose Berrios, who they brought over in the trade late last year from the Twins. So they have the pieces. And I think, honestly, if they're in any other division, they're winning 95, 99 ball games, and they're in contention. Their problem is going to be because the three wild card teams will come from this division, or two of the three at least. Like, I can see the Orioles, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays sneak in. So I will have the Orioles winning it, the Yankees and the Blue Jays finishing second and third, but being in the playoffs. And that's only because I think the Rays sold off enough that I don't know who their ace is. They sold off Glasnow in the offseason, so I know they got some prospects. And the only problem when you make a trade with the Rays, you got to start thinking, well, why they ask for him? Because whenever they get somebody in a trade, that dude always has a breakout year or has his best season. So you always got to be careful of that.
And who did you say in the AL East was winning it for you?
I said the Orioles.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got that. I'm taking notes here. I'm taking notes. So you see me dip my head down, I'm just taking notes. The big dog over on Instagram said Nats win 65, O's win 102. Everybody's looking, we looking high. I like it. I like it. I like the optimism.
But optimism, because the team is there. And let's see. Yeah, exactly. We go ahead and read that from Matt.
Matt says, every year I think the Rays will be done and they find a way to get in the playoffs.
You know what it is? It's their pitching. It's the way they teach their pitches. You always hear me talk about identity and having the way you do things. And this is their identity is with their pitching. They find guys that pitch a certain style. They'll tweak their delivery. They'll move me to the third base side, the first base side. You know, they work on the all speed stuff. And the next thing you know, they throw filthy stuff out there all the time. The Rays always keep a good young pitcher or two.
Let me ask you this. Is it more analytics, or is it that you just throw the to quote one of my favorite baseball movies, since we're on the topic of baseball, we'll have to do that at the end of the show. But one of my favorite baseball movies is Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that the Rays don't use analytics. They just throw the hot, steamy, funky cheese.
Well, I think the Rays are probably one of the forward thinkers when it comes to analytics. But I think it's the way they teach. Like, certain teams have a style that they prefer their pitchers to throw front. And Big Dog's team, the Astros, is one of those teams where they prefer a certain style or a certain sequence. And a lot of the guys they draft fit that style and sequence. Like, if you notice, Gerrit Cole had good years, but Gerrit Cole's best years were when he was with the Astros. Same thing with Verlander. Verlander found the fountain youth. Greinke, Zach Greinke back in the day when he was throwing for him. I mean, it's like they just get the best. And that's the same thing the Rays do. The Rays get these young electric arms and just let them go.
Same thing with Clemens when he went to Houston. It's like he found the fountain of youth. I mean, no disrespect to the big dog, but I think it's more banging on trash cans. But hey, who am I to judge? Matty Ice giving us an update there. Leafs just made it 3-1. Jeez.
Yeah, that's just a bad matchup. You know how we talk about boxing styles make fights? Well, mm-hmm. they haven't. I don't think they've been within four goals of the Leafs when they played them. Like, the Leafs have gotten out on them and, yeah, made it ugly each of the last couple times.
All right, where you want to go next? You want to stay in the AL? You want to jump over to
let's finish up the AL. So, what we got? The AL Central?
The Central.
This is probably one of the worst divisions in baseball. You probably just take a coin, toss it high up in the air, and just do like process of elimination with these teams, because the Royals don't have the stars or the players they used to. They have been right since 2015. The White Sox, they had their moment to shine, and then they decided to go hire an 800-year-old Tony La Russa and totally mess up the machinations of that ball club. And they just never recovered.
Why are you hating on La Russa?
I thought he was a bad pick. I thought they should have left the guy they had managing the team, because he came through the system with those young guys. But the owner wanting to have that old veteran coach, it was awful. The Tigers just lost. Like, the Tigers don't know what their identity is. Talk about walking around like a chicken with your head cut off. They have no identity. They draft high every year. They draft different styles of players. Again, we talk about having identity. Like, you got to start be able to look at certain players like, oh, that's us. That guy fits us. And with the Tigers, I don't see it. And I think the Tigers will be down at the bottom again. I think the Twins win the division by default. I'm totally with Matt. And I think the problem with the Guardians is they're at a crossroads. They're in that spot where the next 2 years, I think the Guardians, unless their pitching is elite, and that's the only way they will compete, is if their pitching is elite.
And Matty Ice is chimed in. He said the Guards could win it if, and that's a big if, he got that in caps, if their starting pitching stays healthy. Their starters could be the best in baseball.
Yep.
But can they hit enough?
And that's been their problem the last 2 years. You know, you got Jose Ramirez, but you had nothing, really nothing to go with him. You had Josh Bell. You traded him at the deadline last year. You have the kid, the Naylor brothers. But then after that, you got a couple young kids that might come up and do some damage. But that's where you are right now. You're at a crossroads of probably having to bring some young guys up to make the next run for Cleveland, because Cleveland's not one of those teams that's going to invest heavy in free agency.
Well, maybe, just maybe, they may need Joe Boo to wake up bats.
Yeah, because Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball.
You trying to start a goddamn Holy War Midnight Rider? Oh, man, next up. The AL West. How the West was won. Tell me how the West was won.
This is a three-team division. And I think this is the division that sneaks in the other wild card team. The question is, what is Seattle? That's my question. Seattle.
That's how you beat them to it.
Seattle is that team with Julio Rodriguez. They've got some young guys. They got some young arms, Gausman and company, where they could make it interesting. But I think Texas with Adon Garcia, I think they got a young guy that somehow they ended up with, like, the third pick in the draft, ended up drafting this kid, Wyatt Langford, out of University of Florida. He was the only other guy that I thought the Nats could have taken. And he's been on a heater since the playoffs. So if they can get him to perform, to go with Garcia, Jung, Seager and company, I think they're the top team in that division, the Rangers, and I think the Astros are the wild card. So you end up with the O's, Twins, Rangers as your division winners. Yanks. When I say Yanks, Blue Jays.
Hold on. You said O's, Twins, you called the Rangers in the West?
Yep.
Rangers, all right. I got to disagree with Matt because Houston doesn't have Dusty anymore.
That doesn't matter. They're still solid all the way around. They laid enough talent that they'll be okay. This is the year that Tucker has to take another step forward. You got Mighty Mouse and company. They're going to be just fine.
And you said your wild card is the Yankees and who?
I think I said Yankees, Blue Jays, and the Mariners. I'm sorry, not the Mariners, the Astros.
I got the Astros winning the West. So I'll take the Mariners. Because the Yankees got to prove that they want it. Let me say this. Since we're on the AL, we're talking about, you know, wild card. The Yankees have not proved that they wanted it in quite some time. As a Yankee fan, being used to winning on the regular and being in the hunt, in competition, to having a player hit 62 home runs, most home runs ever by an AL player, and you do nothing. You come in screaming like a lion, and you go out like a little lamb every time. The Yankees can't win games when it matters most. That is a problem for me as a Yankee fan. Because I'm used to Joe Torre-led teams winning by any means necessary, whether it's pitching, timely hitting, a defensive play, whatever. I remember at one point in time, the weakest point in the team was second base. And then we got Robinson Cano, who's still playing, might I add, at 41 years old. Let me rephrase that. Before Cano, we had Soriano. Then we had Cano. But I just, as a Yankee fan, I had to get that off my chest because I'm tired of sitting here every year.
Well, you gotta be able to pitch. I mean, that's been your problem has been your young pitchers that were supposed to come up and be somebody have all struggled. And all the pitchers that you acquire struggled. I mean, you're without Gerrit Cole for the first part of the season. You got Marcus Stroman. And then after that, it's just like there's like you don't have that Andy Pettit type of guy. You don't have those glue guys right now, and that's I think been the struggle for them.
I digress. Now, should we go back up, come back to the East Coast, switch leagues?
Oh, let me finish this out real quick.
I'm sorry, I jumped ahead.
No. I'm just gonna go ahead and say that I think the team that's gonna represent the AL in the World Series is Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, you put a World Series star right there. All right. If I had to pick, I'm a homer. But
come on, let's go. I might have to take a bath after this, a shower or something. Oh, I just feel dirty.
I'm not even gonna pick. But let's go back to the NL East. I'm sorry. Let's go over to the NL East. What you got there? Talk to me.
Second best division in baseball. I mean, I think pound for pound, outside the Nationals, any of the top four can really make things happen. I think the Marlins just don't have enough still. The Marlins just don't have that it. They have the young kid Perez that came up last year and was devastating, dominating. Probably the closest thing they had to Jose Fernandez since his passing away. But I just don't know with that team. I always feel like there's something missing. Maybe if they can get Jazz Chisholm to play up to his electric personality. Maybe if he has a great year, they can get over that hump. But I just think the Phillies and the Braves are just too far ahead of everybody else. I mean, the Braves with Scott Strider and company coming out, the lineup, I think last year they lineup, everybody hit, if they didn't hit 20 home runs, I know everybody in the lineup had over 15. Then the Braves have this crazy way of finding guys that are good and aren't managed by Scott Boras. So then they take deals. You know, they got guys, they got one of the guys, the second baseman on a deal. He's on a 7-year, $35 million deal. It's no way, no way in the world Scott Boras would have let his guy sign anything like that. You know, I think they have a 7-year deal with $80 million for Acuna. Like they're getting, they've got guys on some under market value contracts. The kid Riley, the third baseman, who I think is an absolute stud, and probably he's the new Chipper Jones. He's the new model of the franchise. You know, you got Ronald Acuna, who's probably, I'm not even gonna say probably, he is the best player in baseball. I'll go ahead and make the statement. I fought it. I used to try to say Soto, but I think he's the best player. What else can I give you in that division? The Phillies are always going to be fighting. I like the fact that they got Zach Buehler back. You still have Bryce Harper and company. That lineup is going to hit no matter what. And if they can get Schwarber just to give them his normal 185 batting average with 40 home runs and 80 RBI, they're going to be right back in the mix. And the only team I didn't talk about was the Mets because I have no clue what they are. I mean, they have Alonso, they have some pitching, but I think they're another team. They missed the window.
I'm gonna say this, and it you talk about needing to take a bath after what you said. I need a alcohol bath with a Brillo pad. But I think the Mets might be your surprise team out of the NL East. Might be.
I'll let you have that. Ugh. That's a ship. That's a Titanic I'm not going down with.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Matty Ice said, who has ruined baseball more the last few years, Boras or Manfred?
Oh, that's easy. Manfred. just because he's a blithering idiot.
A blithering idiot. I don't think I've heard that in years.
And then the part about Boras has actually made it bad for his clients because now all his clients don't sign in the normal free agent cycle. They normally don't sign now until we're talking weeks before, weeks in the spring training. He had like four guys sign, Jordan Montgomery and company, all signed at the last minute. So you doing that, I mean, are you really helping your players? Or is it just all about you? And that's the part that I think he might start losing clients because some of these guys have way better offers that they turned down, and now they're working for less.
Matty Ice checked in. Hockey update. Canes take the lead on the Wings 1-0.
We need the Wings and the Flyers to lose. Just because then they, the Caps still stay one up on them.
So who are you taking in the NL East?
To win a division, I'm going to take the Braves.
All right.
And the wild card is the Phils. You know what? I'm going to give them two because I don't like anything in the Central. So I'm going to go the Braves and the Marlins. I'm sorry. The Phillies and the Marlins as the wild card.
All right. Moving on over to the Central Division.
This is amazing. I've never seen, I mean, it's just like the middle of the country. They just don't like competitive baseball. I mean, this division should be the Cubs to take because I think they have the better team, but you can never count the Cardinals out. I just wonder what the Cardinals are going to be without, this is the first year, I think, without Molina. And what's the guy's name? I see his jersey I can't think of his name now. His name just popped out of my head. But yeah, I just don't see them. I don't know. It's something about the Cardinals that scares me. They brought up the kid Jordan Walker last year. The guy can hit. He reminds me of Garrett Anderson, where he's more of a doubles guy. You see his frame, you think he's going to be a 40 home run kind of guy, but I think he's a 25 home run, 40 double or 35 double type of guy. Their problem is their other young outfielders haven't come up and maintain any consistency. So it's Goldschmidt, Walker's kind of there, and then the rest of it's kind of a struggle for them. And I think that's where they've messed up. The Cubs, they've got similar guys in the outfield. Suzuki, you got Bellinger back. But again, I don't know with them. The Brewers, I think, are on the downside because they traded away Burns. And I don't think they have their number two pitcher until middle of the year because I think he's coming off of a surgery. Lineup-wise, you got Yelich. You got to hope Yelich is still on the mend and coming back and being who he was last year or 2 years ago, not who he was 3 years ago. Let's see, who else am I missing on that team? Willie Adames has to start hitting. He's a great defensive shortstop, but he's got to hit better. Cubs, Brewers, trying to check them off of my head. Who else can I talk about? The Reds. The Reds are probably the most exciting team, the Reds and the Pirates, because they have some young guys that are going to be up and they're going to play. The problem is, again, pitching. Now, today the Reds got a great performance from Montas. So if he can keep that up, he might be the best pitcher in the division, to be honest with you, playing it the way he played today. So that could be the key with the Reds, because the Reds are a dangerous team because they like to run. I think they led Major League Baseball in steals last year. And I guess Maddie's trying to read my brain, and that's about the next thing I was going to say is I think the Pirates are a sleeper. If the Pirates can – I mean, the Pirates have talent. That's not the question. I mean, when you can't draft one or two for damn near a decade and not have talent, the problem is, like, will it translate? And if their talent translates – they could be very dangerous. They definitely could be a surprise team. And that's what I would put them as, a sleeper.
I got the Pirates winning this division. What about you?
I'm going to take the Reds.
All right. Got you down for the Reds. Matty Ice said the Canes now up 2-0.
Cool.
We need it. All right, last but not least, as far as the divisions go, out west, the NL West.
So, if I was a manager of the Padres, I would have brought Barney in. Because what's that song he sings? It's like I love you, you love me. We're one big happy family or something like that. That's what the Padres need. Like, they need to just get along. Like, they put a bunch of alphas in the same room, and I think that hurt team chemistry. They're probably the most athletic team in baseball because they have about 8 short guys that used to play shortstop playing other positions. So I think that was part of their problem last year was guys probably felt that they should have been playing somewhere and they had to move to accommodate somebody else. Question for them is pitching. Darvish, Yu Darvish is their ace. And the question with him is just, does he throw enough strikes? Let's see, who else are we going to talk about? Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers are going to always be there. Payroll alone. I mean, you got Shohei Ohtani on a deal where basically they shouldn't. I mean, they start off with, they just paid Will Smith on a 10-year extension. So you have Mookie Betts, Ohtani, Freeman Ohtani as your first four hitters. Like, nobody's coming out with a better lineup than that. Their young pitchers show up. So I think they got a kid, Bobby Miller, if I'm remembering correctly. He's going to be there. If he can give them anything, he can be consistent. That's the key to that program. And then who did we miss? Because The Giants will be there. The Rockies, I'm not worried about. The Arizona Diamondbacks, who made the wild card last year, they could be interested. And you know what? Let's kick the Marlins out of that last playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go Dodgers win the West. Arizona wild card. And I'm going to go Padres because I think they're going to be able to get along this year.
All right, I got you down. Now, who's your World Series pick?
I'm going to go Braves.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All East.
And I think the Braves winning in seven.
Damn, I got to find room for that. I done wrote so much. Braves in seven. All right. Matty Ice said, Dodgers spend the money, but will it gel on the field? Padres win it. I got you down with that, Matty. I got you down with that. Before we wrap this thing up, real quick, let me pull that down. Said we was going to do it quickly. Favorite baseball move?
That's easy. Major League.
One, two, or three?
Huh?
One, two, or three.
There's only one real major league, and it's the first one.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I asked because Major League 2, one of my cousins, I used to walk in, he go, yeah, Black Hammer.
Ah, okay.
So, you know.
Nah.
But Sandlot.
That's a great movie.
Sandlot was a summertime must-have.
I'll put you like this. I watched Major League my junior year going into my senior year, I think it was. I think I watched that every time before we had summer baseball practice. Like, every day we had practice, that movie got watched before practice.
See, Major League 2, Jack Parkman coming up to the plate. The women here love this shimmy.
Yeah, nah.
Bob Uecker made that. He made that as Harry Dole. He made that even more hilarious than what it was. Great movies, though, all of them. Well, okay, back to the minors wasn't that great. It was okay, but it wasn't great. And Matty Ice said Major League is the best.
Okay.
Were you a Field of Dreams guy?
I saw it. It got me because I think I saw it after my dad passed. So it was a couple of scenes that, yeah, they were cutting some of the onions.
Gotcha. I'm trying to think, because you got Rookie of the Year, Major League, Sandlot.
Angels in the Outfield.
And I haven't seen Angels in the Outfield. That used to be like another, that was a summertime movie too. Like that was a Disney movie of the week during the summer. It was always a baseball movie. Always. Matty Ice said so many great lines. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. You know it was an alternate ending to Major League, right?
The only thing I remember hearing was the play that Serrano hit the home run in the playoffs. They said the place was going so crazy that he ran around the bases with the bat. That wasn't in the script.
Because he actually hit a home run.
Right.
That was actually him. Dennis Haysbert actually hit the home run.
Right.
But the alternate ending was, God, I can't think of her name, but the owner.
Mm-hmm.
After they lost, she came down and she told him she never intended on moving the team. She told Lou this. She said, I never intended on moving the team. But I needed you guys to win to boost attendance so we can make some more money. And if you tell anybody that I told you that, I'll fire your ass.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't go with that.
Just something. I mean, it's one of them ones that came up. Matty Ice say Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams was good. I had that on VHS. So it's a Kevin Costner movie. Yeah, he doesn't make bad movies. All right. And plus, James Earl Jones is in it.
Let's see, tournament. What we got? Clemson is up 2 on Arizona. UConn is up 11 on San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
They're both in the second half. I just can't. I just don't want to see Caleb. I'm being a hater. Never mind. I'm going to keep that to myself.
Matty Ice said, Kane's dominating the wings 3-0 now. Good. Good. Okay. All right. We said we was going to do it. We came in. We came. We saw. We kicked his ass. So, Midnight Rider, it's been a pleasure tonight talking MLB. Like
always.
I'm excited. I'm mad I didn't watch any games, but that's okay. I'm going to be a little bit more invested this season. Maybe, just maybe, if the stars align right, we can do it. Maybe we can catch a game as a group, and this goes out to everybody.
Well, JoJo already hit me with that.
So we're going to do JoJo one before the All-Star break and one after the All-Star break?
Nah, JoJo told me if I go to the game, let her know.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And it'll be well in advance. Well in advance. Here's the thing. Are we doing Baltimore or are we doing D.C.?
Huh?
We doing Baltimore or D.C.?
Huh?
Have you ever been to a game at Camden Yards?
Yes, I have.
Beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful site, beautiful stadium.
I'm going to a baseball game. I'm going to watch my team.
Okay. We can watch both, man.
I'm going to go watch my team.
Hey, that'd be great, though. If the O's play in the afternoon, the Nets play at night, we could do two games in a day.
I'm going to see my team.
All right, man. I'm not going to argue with you. So, that's the Midnight Rider. I'm the big guy, KG. We just did it. We came, we saw, we conquered. Enjoy the tournament. Enjoy opening day of baseball. Enjoy baseball, period. Join us on Saturday. We'll be having our picks to crown a new champion, hopefully, for the WrestleManiacs. We'll be picking our WrestleMania picks. So join us for that. But until next time, we don't do no overtime, baby. We are out of here.